So there's a member of the GOP, Mark Robinson, who is kind of in the MAGA-ish circles now, or was, anyways. He was going to a lot of Trump rallies, introducing Trump, and Trump claimed that he was Martin Luther King Jr. on steroids. That was his exact quote. Yes, and that's a strange thing to say for a man who had previously quoted Hitler and gotten away with it. That wasn't enough for MAGA to be like, yikes, they don't really care about the Hitler stuff. In fact, there's so much Hitler stuff going on that I think they're kind of pro-Hitler at this point. But it's the damning leaks that came out yesterday, which is that this individual, Mark Robinson, has a very, very long history of posting in porn forums, internet porn forums. He was doing this in his 40s, apparently. Now, again, I don't know what goes through the mind of the right-wing Republican when they think that they can do this kind of shit and then become politicians. Because, like, it's one thing to, like, you know, all of us goon. We're all gooners here. And there's no goon shame. You know, we're all proud gooners, you know, enjoying the odd little piece of erotica now and then. There's nothing wrong with that whatsoever. There's nothing wrong with being into LGBTQ plus pornography. But there's a lot of things wrong with dedicating your life to making LGBTQ plus people's lives scarier, harder, and in some cases trying to get them killed through your own policies, positions, and advocacy, while at the same time just gooning furiously to pornography of them. It's not just hypocritical. It makes the lives of LGBTQ plus people very, very scary and dangerous. And that's just by virtue of existing, even though you're sexually obsessed with them, as is the case with Mark Robinson, who was, again, posting so much on these porn forums about how much he loves trans porn, is really into piss, and admitted to having an affair with his sister-in-law and being really into her pee-pee as well. So that's what I think was too much for the right. Yesterday, right before the actual scandal itself leaked, there was already a lot of news articles being like, a big thing is about to drop on Mark Robinson, oh my god, and MAGA was already distancing themselves from him, and when they were doing that, I was like, oh, this has to involve something related to queer folk, because the black Nazi stuff, they're okay with that. The quoting Hitler, they're okay with that. But as soon as you start posting on Maine that you're super into trans porn or stuff like that, that's definitely when MAGA's like, oh no, we don't fuck with you anymore. And then that's pretty much what so far has been happening. Of all the scandals that I'm about to reveal, because yesterday it was just, again, gay Christmas 2, whatever you want to call it, queer Kwanzaa, whatever it was just like all of these anti-LGBTQ plus bigots, one after another, from him to Matt Gaetz to Christopher Rufo to an anti-LGBTQ plus politician who had been doing gay porn. Like, in all these situations, is it the hubris? What is it that goes through the mind of a Republican who does this kind of shit and then thinks, you know what? I'm going to be a politician. I'm going to be in the public light. I'm going to be a public figure. I'm just going to be a front-facing person who also loves posting in porn forums about how much I love pissing on my sister-in-law. Like, that, it's just profoundly wild stuff. So all that kind of got revealed yesterday about Mark Robinson. At a rally in Greensboro on March 2nd, Donald Trump endorsed Mark Robinson's bid to become the governor of North Carolina by describing the candidate as Martin Luther King on steroids, Trump added. I told that to Mark. I said, I think you're better than Martin Luther King. I think you are Martin Luther King times two. For Robinson, this was surely bittersweet praise. Robinson was already on track to win the Republican gubernatorial nomination, and Trump's extravagant paying would seal the deal. Since Robinson had very much styled himself as a maverick MAGA candidate, being celebrated by Trump was surely gratifying. What might have struck Robinson's craw, though, was the comparison with MLK. Though he's black, Robinson is no fan of being martyred. No fan of the martyred civil rights leader. In a Rivington report published by CNN on Thursday, Andrew Kaczynski and M. Steck document on a private pornography message board, Robinson often made shocking statements expressing sympathy for racism and white supremacy. In 2011, when President Barack Obama participated in the dedication of a memorial to King, Robinson posted, "Get that fucking commie bastard off the National Mall." Robinson also wrote, "I'm not in the KKK. They don't let blacks join. If I was in the KKK, I would have called him Martin Lucifer. You know the rest." The comments were made under the pseudonym, and Robinson denied making them, claiming that the CNN report is fabrication. But the digital fingerprint that CNN presented as evidence for Robinson's authorship are compelling. And also, Mark Robinson's defense in all of this is just that it's all fake news. It's all just smear tactics. They're just trying to really destroy my credibility, all that kind of stuff. CNN wouldn't put forward a report like this had it not gone to their legal team and had they not dotted all the I's. You can't just be like, hey, by the way, I think this is the same dude who posts in the porn forum about loving his sister-in-law's piss. You can't just do that and then be like, that's enough on its own. So they actually went through quite a deep dive into both his posting on the public porn forums, but also the fact that he had used the same email address when registering an account in those public porn forums with the same email address that he'd been using for various social media accounts that he uses for his own political campaign. The evidence is quite damning. Everything from, specific phrases that aren't frequently used by most individuals. They were being used by both his porn posting account and his, public-facing accounts using the exact same username, which in and of itself is just kind of foolish on his part. Again, how did you think you were going to get away with this using the exact same username that you were using to post in these really hardcore porn forums that you were also using for other shit? But, you know, don't let me tell you how not to have a great time. The King remarks are only a small fraction of what CNN uncovered. In 2010, Robinson also described himself as a, quote, black Nazi, and claimed, slavery is not bad. Some people need to be slaves. I wish they would bring slavery back. I certainly would buy a few. 2 days later, he wrote, I take Hitler over any of the shit that's in Washington right now. In the lesser realm of hypocrisy, Robinson expressed enjoyment of pornography starring trans women, a preference newsworthy only because, in his current capacity as lieutenant governor of North Carolina, he has been virulently anti-trans. Robinson also recalled being a teenage peeping Tom who spied on teenage girls taking showers at a public gym. Yeah, in his account of being a peeping Tom, he basically got really upset, not that he was a peeping Tom, but that he was a peeping Tom and he wasn't able to keep peeping because someone blocked his view of a shower that he was spying on women showering in. Rumors of the CNN report threw Robinson's campaign into a crisis, with Republicans pressuring him to drop out before midnight Thursday, which would have been the deadline. Luckily, he didn't, and he's pressing on. Yes, he's going to keep going. He's not letting the woke get him down, you know, all this 1984 cancel culture stuff. And honestly, you know, I guess let your freak flag fly is going to be the official stance of the Republican Party on this one. I've got the whole J.D. Vance running away thing, too, which is also very hilarious. Yet it's hard to feel sorry for Republicans. Mark Robinson might be a political monster, but he is a monster that was specifically selected, groomed, and elevated by the Republican Party of North Carolina, a process that was repeated by the National Party. Now, this also leads me to question, do you not vet your candidates? Because, yeah, maybe there was a couple steps to be done here, and maybe the CNN had to spend a great deal of time connecting all the dots to make it absolutely completely, like, you know, bulletproof that this was in fact him and his own posting. But I would assume that a team of people that you pay to vet people could have found this out too by just connecting the same username. Like, if you use that username and then search for any other person with that specific username and what they may have posted elsewhere on the internet, a lot of this probably would have come up. And yes, I'm sure if it did, you could say, oh, well, that one's not me. I'm they're using the same username as me, but we're not connected in any way. And then leave it to, you know, the CNN reporters to be like, oh, so we tracked it down to the email address. It's actually the exact same email address for both things. So there's that. Emily List noted, let me be clear, what came out today is terrible, but it fits with everything we've always known about Mark Robinson. They knew who he was, and they supported him. Mark Robinson would be fully justified in quoting the famous lyrics from The Snake composer Oscar Brown that Trump often cites, you knew damn well I was a snake before you brought me in. Considering what we already know about Robinson long before the CNN report, in a 2014 Facebook post, Robinson approvingly quoted Adolf Hitler. In 2017, he wrote, there is a reason the liberal media fills the airwaves with programs about the Nazi and the, quote, 6 million Jews they murdered. The following year, another Facebook post read, I've been biting my tongue about this silly Black Panther comic book movie. I can't wait any longer. It is absolutely amazing to me that people who know so little about their true history and refuse to acknowledge the pure, sorry state of their current condition can get so excited about a fictional hero created by an agnostic Jew and put the film by satanic Marxists. How can this trash that was only created to pull the shekels out of your, I don't even know how to pronounce this, pockets, invoke any pride? So, yeah, super anti-Semitic, really fucked up, very strange, but this was all already public knowledge. This was the stuff that was already out there, and MAGA was fine with it. MAGA, that's cool. We're good with this. In 2021, Robinson referred to LGBTQ plus people as, quote, filth. None of this was a secret as Robinson rose through the political ranks. More shit, stuff on guns, stuff on abortions, more on the racism, etc., etc. I don't need to read it out, but here's one of the posts about his enjoyment of his sister-in-law's piss and enjoying the piss play with his sister-in-law that he was cheating on his wife with, allegedly. I mean, he could have been making the story up. We don't know if this is 100% verifiable fact, but this was the kind of stuff that he was posting in the porn forums. Also, posting in porn forums, I feel like that's an older millennial and beyond thing. I don't know. Like, I'd see, I'm like a middle millennial, so for me, the idea of, like, you know, both jerking it and then also writing in the forum about things that arouse me, it seems a little old-fashioned. Not really, you know, to me it's kind of a get in, get out, no fucking about scenario. Don't need to leave internet signatures all over the place before or after the act. So, like, even people who post in, like, you know, Pornhub forums or stuff like that, or in the comments section of that kind of stuff, it just strikes me as something like, you got some extra time on your hands or something, or really you really want people to know your opinion specifically on what you like to goon to. So there's obviously, this is someone who is in the deep recesses of the goon cave, someone who is obviously quite a let's just say a fapaholic, I think is the term, the technical term, or someone who's really, really into his online porn activity. Either way, I don't know what was going through your head thinking, like, to do this and then be like, I should be a career politician. You know what my calling is? Representing the people. Will this ever come back to haunt me? I don't think so. I've been careful, I have. Yeah, not so much in not using the exact same username that I would use in other social media, but if anyone is to catch any of this, I can always just say that it's not me. How can they prove it? There's no way, right? There's that whole thing. It's pretty wild, though. Like, again, to think that you're going to get away with all this. Yeah, I know. I don't know why he hadn't heard of burner accounts, you know? Like, why, if this is something that's important to you, it's like, not only do I, you know, I really love fucking jerking off to porn and all kinds of shit like that, but I like people to know what I jerk off to and what arouses me, and also the infidelity that I'm engaged in. I want people to know about how much I'm cheating on my wife with her sister. I just want the world to know that, because that to me is also part of it. You would think then it does take you less than a minute to make a secondary account, one in which that is not directly associated with any of the other stuff you do. Could have done that. But again, I don't know why it is that so many Republicans are both this way behind the scenes, and then as soon as they get in front of a camera, they're like, LGBTQ plus people are the devil, the gays are satanic, every trans person is going to burn in hell, if anyone so much as looks at them, you have been captured by Satan. Like, I again, and then it's like, you finish that, it's like, oh, good job, sir, thank you. Is there a computer nearby? What? Why are you sweating so much? Well, I just, is there a computer? Important political shit, okay? Is there a computer in a room I can use? Yeah, just you, right over there. Do you want to borrow my laptop? Yes! And you're like, Jesus Christ, my dude. Holy fuck. North Carolina Lieutenant Governor Mark Robinson, the Republican Party's controversial candidate for governor, is under new scrutiny for several admissions that he appears to have made on a message board for the porn site called Nude Africa before his political career began. CNN reported on Thursday, Robinson referred to himself as a black Nazi on the site, where he also expressed support for reviving slavery and admitted to enjoying porn featuring trans performers. Robinson has argued against allowing trans people to use the bathroom of their gender identity, reasoning that women need to be, quote, protected from men who would take advantage of such facilities. But on Nude Africa, Robinson fondly recalled sneaking as a teen into a spot in a public gym where he could watch women shower. Also an important point about him being a peeping Tom, admitting to being a peeping Tom, I should say, is that all of this kind of, you know, the right is so obsessed with protecting women's bathrooms, protect the women's bathroom. The same person who's saying protect the women's bathrooms is literally spying on women in the shower. Yes, that a thing that he is doing there. And also the same people who constantly say trans people are evil, trans people are subhuman, trans people don't deserve rights, they don't deserve healthcare, we need to restrict their access to all kinds of things that everyday people just take, cis people take for granted. They're the same ones who are also obsessed with trans porn. How obsessed with trans porn, you asked? If only there was a way to calculate this. There is. It's already been done. Data finds Republicans are obsessed with searching for transgender porn. Closet cases. Republicans secretly love what they publicly hate. So far in 2022, more than 300 anti-LGBTQ plus bills have been proposed across 36 states, at least one-third of which are directed at trans youth. This surge, especially in anti-trans legislation from Republicans, stands in stark contrast to a startling fact. Republicans love trans porn a lot. With more than 4.7 million trans porn-related Google searches each month, do Republicans represent the searches the most? The answer seems to be a clear yes. Oh, look at this. Look at all this fucking red. Look at all the red all over the place. Look at all of this. So this one here is for femboy. So these are our searches for femboys. And the higher the volume, the more the redness. So the more redness you see, the more horny people are for searching for things like femboys on the internet. And it's unusual that in places like Texas, Florida, what's going on here? These are places where you vilify the very idea of anyone not being entirely masculine in all ways. Yeah, men are supposed to be men. And yet, when the lights are off, when the door is closed, when the wife is out of town, suddenly, ooh, this is a little titillating, is it? In fact, the more Republican they are, the more they seem to like it. To understand the Republicans' love for trans-related porn, we scrape daily Google search and trend data from June 1st, 2022 to June 19th, 2022, segmented by DMA, the metro area, and compared search volume to both 2020 election voting trends and public opinion about LGBTQ plus rights. The data tells a tragic tale of self-loathing closet cases. Republicans who privately get off sexually to trans folk while publicly trying to remove trans people's rights and stoking hate against them. Who's the most obsessed with searching for trans porn? Here you are. It's on screen, y'all. And some may surprise you. In number one, Texas. Number one, baby. Then Georgia. Then Kentucky. Then Missouri. Then Kansas. Then Virginia. Then North Carolina. Then Illinois. Mississippi. I guess number seven is where Mark Robinson has contributed towards this phenomenon. Illinois, Mississippi, Tennessee, Ohio, Indiana, Arkansas, Iowa, Louisiana, Michigan, Oklahoma, Alabama, Florida, Pennsylvania. That's the top 20. The top 20. Yeah. God damn. You love the thing you hate. You hate the thing you love. I would say it was like some kind of profoundly fucked up Greek tragedy, but it is like deeply, deeply sad and serious at the same time. Yes. Laugh at the fucking the horny fash and their lives getting destroyed by their own penises. That's funny. All right. Like that to me, profoundly hilarious. And I'm never going to stop laughing about it and reporting on it. Obviously, y'all can't help yourselves and, you know, your search history betrays you. So that part is funny. The fact, though, that these very same people who are obviously just gooning nonstop to bisexual porn, trans porn, gay porn, all this kind of stuff, while at the same time are trying to enact legislation that makes the lives of the very people who make that pornography harder. That part is profoundly sad and sick. And like, honestly, if this isn't an alarm bell in that, like, holy fuck, are y'all ever fucking horny for the shit that you spend all day trying to vilify? This is the results for trans porn. Again, the redder it is, the higher the volume being searched. The more red you get, the more you love trans porn. While the maps and rankings might make it seem obvious that there's a correlation between conservatism and searching for trans porn, but by plotting linear regression trend lines, we can better understand the strength of the correlation. In these views, we look at search volume for three different keywords groups for the metro area political leaning. Each dot represents a metro area. Dots are colored by their ratio of Democratic versus Republican votes in the 2020 presidential election. The higher the value, more red, the higher the percentages of that metro area voted for Donald Trump. And again, the data is clear, you know? The data is very clear. Yes, stupid sexy Flanders. Although we should say stupid sexy trans Flanders in this case, because yes, it seems to be that their obsession, nothing can quench their thirst, apparently. They are insatiable. The same thing happens, by the way, with like when there's all these Republican conventions, whether it be CPAC, Turning Point USA, or of course, the RNC. Suddenly, the Grindr servers crash. And it's like, Why? Maybe there's a handful of the log cabin Republicans who are just like, you know, it's fucking the gay Super Bowl. And for them, they're out, but they're also out and they're conservative, which again, there's no stopping fascism. Once that train leaves the station, everyone is being piled onto it kind of thing. Like, please realize the reality of the world that you live in. But in addition to that, the vast majority are either closet cases or are closet bisexuals or are people who just want to cheat on their wives by getting some sweet, delicious pussy. And then afterwards, the servers crash. They all go back home. Everything just reverts back to normal, and nothing happened. You know, there was absolutely nothing to be seen. But again, the more you hate them, the more you love them. And this also goes into the hypersexualization of queer folk, the fact that, and this is done through a lot of groups that, you know, obviously tried to be othered or marginalized throughout history. There was always, again, during, you know, the hypersexualization of black men and how that they were going to be, you know, violent threats to white women and that they were completely insatiable. The same thing was done to Mexican immigrants, and apparently marijuana gave them superpowers, things like that. These same, you know, hypersexualization helped dehumanize the same groups, right? There's nothing wrong with finding black people sexy because they are sexy. There's nothing wrong with finding trans people sexy. They are sexy. There's nothing wrong with finding gay men sexy. They're sexy. There's something wrong with simply hypersexualizing them and reducing them to nothing but sexy. As in, like, the only thing or only value to me is them as sex objects. You know, I can say I hate trans people 24/7, but then when the lights are off, well, then I just, you know, it's all trans porn for me 24/7 kind of shit. Yeah, that's plays into the entire, you know, fascistic ideal and all that kind of stuff. And it, again, profoundly sad and sick, but also very, very funny that every single one of them eventually, at one point or another, can't help themselves and gets caught. Because, yeah, I mean, it's one thing to be like, I'm guessing there's a lot of people we'll never know about because they're careful about this shit. They can kind of separate the moment. It's not exactly like, hey, by the way, as soon as I'm done this press conference, I am just fucking running to the nearest phone, computer, you name it, so I can go jerk off to some gay porn or something like that. But then there is obviously a segment of people who I think spend a lot of time to be able to like use incognito mode and use alternative accounts and stuff like that. But for the most part, these dudes are just too horny. You know, in Mark Robinson's case, that's like, that's a very aggressive thing to not only be like, you know, into all of this kind of behavior publicly, but to be posting about it on porn forums, just constantly posting and posting and posting to the point where, like, you know, when you decided to become a politician, you would think, like, is there anything in your past, sir, that you should warn us about, that we should know about? Because any scandal that you had in the past, it will come out. And it's like, ah, I guess I could go back and delete that old account. I could do that. Yeah, on the Nude Africa forums, I could delete my accounts there. That would probably benefit, you know, my political career. But I'm not going to. Because I was fucking spitting. Because my posts were just premium horny shit. And I don't want that to go away. I want there to be a leisure of how horny I was on that day at that time. And it's up there. That's more important to me than people finding out about those public postings. So there's that. Yesterday, obviously, Senator Vance was questioned on this, and this was his response.
Hi, Senator Vance. Do you have any reaction to Mark Robinson news? Senator Vance?
Senator Vance has left the building. So there was no comment officially from Senator Vance. In fact, most people who have been asked about this have now tried to really distance themselves from Mark Robinson. I don't know if you saw Jesse Waters, Fox News host. He said that he didn't even really know who Mark Robinson was, which is strange because he interviewed him a couple weeks ago. And again, it's because you can, on the right, be like this, right? Like, I feel that there's just too much people checking each other's shit on the left. Like, you wouldn't just be able to be that brazen. You wouldn't be able to be like, I have no idea who that is. Because, like, immediately, like, Lance, you interviewed them last week. No, I didn't. And then I guess if you're on the right, you don't want to have to accept the truth, so you just accept the Jesse Waters lie. You're like, ah, so you didn't know who he was. So, I mean, no one is supporting what the alleged, you know, statements say. No one's supporting that. But I mean, how is he to know? These people don't work together. They're not in the same place at the same time. JD Vance took offense to this clip being posted and then blamed it on his kids. Rushes into other room. I was walking to the doctor because one of my kids gave me the plague. My comment on Mark Robinson is that Kamala Harris cast the deciding vote on the Inflation Explosion Act. And because of that, a lot of Americans can't afford groceries. So he's sticking to the same tired script. Every single time he's like, hey, super fucked up thing, Laura Loomer, she said a lot of racist shit, you know, saying about how the White House is going to stink like curry. Really racist statement. You should probably condemn that. She's also said some really racist stuff towards black people. She's tried to impersonate black people in her tweets, and she's making comments now about fried chicken and other racist stereotypes. Are you going to comment on that? His response to that is like, well, it doesn't matter if it's curry in the White House or fried chicken in the White House. At the end of the day, you have to know that these things cost more money because of the policies of Vice President Harris and Tim Walz. And you're like, wow. Okay, so it's just going to be ignore and repeat. Just basically regurgitate the same racism, but at the same time, just be like, and now I'm going to deflect entirely to something completely different. Now we get to Mr. Matt Gaetz. Now, you may have remembered Matt Gaetz, who made an appearance at the Republican National Convention looking extremely different.
Trump is unstoppable. Elect him president again, and America will be unstoppable too.
Now, even the right was a little upset at the new Matt Gaetz, Matt Gaetz 4.0, when they saw him. I saw a lot of people getting really upset about that. And honestly, we shouldn't shame Matt Gaetz for wanting gender-affirming care, as we shouldn't shame Joe Rogan or J.K. Rowling. They got so much gender-affirming care. Those people are oozing gender-affirming care. They love it. They're addicted to gender-affirming care, some might say. So it's not the fact that they love their gender-affirming care, it's that they want to gatekeep trans people from having it as well. But they themselves, oh man, I mean, if you ever want to see people who love gender-affirming care, look towards cis bigots. Cis bigots love their gender-affirming care. Oh my god. Yeah, he's nearly unrecognizable. Like, again, I don't know what you were going for here.
Meanwhile, Joe Biden's been out of it. Democrats.
Majority Report raided you on YouTube. Hell yeah, Majority Report. Thank you for the raid. You still have to learn how to do that properly, but I appreciate it. Hello, Raiders. If you're just tuning in, welcome. It's Gay Christmas 2. It's Queer Kwanzaa. I'm telling you, yesterday was just the day of days of days of days. Holy fucking hell, was there ever a lot of leaks? There was so many that I couldn't get to sleep at night. Because right when I was preparing to, it's like, there's another one. There's another one. I was getting fucking Discord messages and WhatsApp fucking DMs from people being like, oh my god, another one just dropped. I was like, oh, what? I already know about the... Oh, sorry, what? Christopher Rufo? No way. Okay. Well, I that definitely is enough for today. RFK Jr. had an affair. What? With Olivia? Are you serious? Oh, that's... Oh, wow. Well, okay. At least this one didn't involve an animal in terms of RFK scandals. That one's kind of... Matt Gaetz, you're serious. On the same day, Matt fucking Gaetz. Oh my god. So much. Well, anyways, enjoy. Today's a day of celebration. Happy Friday, everybody.
Have been hiding the real Biden for years. We saw people in the...
Brian, tell me. Thank you so much for the 5 gifted subs. Hey, 5 of you just got a free sub. You better give Brian a big thank you. And also, check out Sleeping Chico. Oh, look at that angel. Life is so perfect. I got no worries in the world. That's my Chico song. Exclusive. Copyright. TM.
Witness protection program. More often than we saw unscripted Biden. Under Biden-Harris.
So anyways, he loves gender-affirming care. But there's also some terrible things that he loves, okay? The gender-affirming care, I'm not going to shame him for wanting that. I'm just going to shame him for not wanting other people to have access to it. But I am going to shame him for this. New court filings place Matt Gaetz at a party at the center of the sex trafficking scandal. This is the first public filing that cites sworn testimony alleging that Gaetz attended one of the long-rumored parties with a teenage girl. Now, I don't want to do the I told you so's right now, but I will say that in my history of being on TYT as a guest, one of the weirdest and most striking things that ever happened was when I was talking about a story and then Cenk corrected me on Matt Gaetz. And what I was saying at the time was that it is pretty unbelievable how much evidence there is in the Matt Gaetz case, and yet it's not going forward. And then I was shut down by Cenk, who was basically saying that, like, at this time, there's no charges that have been filed against Matt Gaetz. We have to be fair and or balanced in this and blah, blah, blah. And, you know, I was kind of just like, whoa, that was kind of out of left field, sure. But again, if you read the articles from around the time that the initial scandal was breaking, especially the ones done, I think Rolling Stone and maybe Mother Jones or another publication has a breakdown of it all, just piece after piece after piece. And also the amount of people who work within either the Department of Justice or other people who have authority on the subject, they were all like just completely confused by this, like flabbergasted. Like they were honestly just like, it makes no sense to me for an individual to have this much damning evidence, from the Venmo payments to the co-conspirator confessing to the letters written to the first-hand testimonies. And a lot of it fell apart when one of the witnesses suddenly decided that she would refuse to testify. Now, I understand that obviously, especially if you're a survivor or a victim, the immense amount of hatred, pressure, death threats, and other terrible things that could happen to you from being a public, person testifying. Yes, I can totally understand why someone might not want to be a part of it. But that was just one piece of the puzzle, and there were so many others, and it's just one of those things where at the end of the day, holy fucking shit, right? Like, how many scandals do you need? Representative Matt Gaetz attended a drug-fueled sex party in 2017 with the 17-year-old girl at the center of the alleged sex trafficking scandal, according to legal documents filed to a Florida federal court shortly before midnight on Thursday, which cite sealed affidavits from three eyewitness testimonies. The minor, who was a junior in high school at the time, arrived in her mother's car for July 15, 2017 party at the Florida home of Chris Dorworth, a lobbyist and friend of Gaetz, according to a court filing written by defense attorneys who interviewed witnesses as part of the ongoing civil lawsuit Dorworth brought in 2020. The lobbyist claimed he had been unfairly dragged into the alleged sex trafficking scandal that had dogged Gaetz and his allies for years. Dorworth ultimately dropped the case, but the lawyers filed these documents in an attempt to recoup attorney fees for a lawsuit they said should never have been brought. One eyewitness cited the court filings, a young woman referred to as KM, providing a sworn affidavit that claimed the teenage girl was naked. Partygoers were there to engage in sexual activities, and alcohol, cocaine, ecstasy, and marijuana were present. The teenage girl was identified in the filings only as AB. Discovery taken to the case reflects that on Saturday, July 5th, 2017, Dorworth hosted a party at his residence with the following guests present: number 1 AB, number 2 KM, number 3 BG, and number 4 Matt fucking Gaetz. Lawyers wrote in the filing, also listing several others. The defense lawyers filed testimonies from these three women, who the attorney said placed Gaetz at Dorworth's house that night, under the seal pending a judge's approval to make the records public. Additionally, Gaetz's own ex-girlfriend, who was present at the party, provided testimony that the lawyers say rebuts Dorworth's claims that he was not there. Notice independently verified that Gaetz and one of the women who testified were previously involved in a relationship. She is only identified in the court filings by her initials, BG. The congressman's ex-girlfriend's 11th-hour testimony on September 3rd came just 2 days before Dorworth dropped the lawsuit, defense attorneys said in the filing. The defense lawyers also relied on Dorworth's geolocated phone records, which showed the communications consistently with the congressman that day. The defense court filings showed they hired a digital forensic examiner identifying Gaetz's number, which has a Florida Panhandle 850 area code, and texted back and forth 30 times that day, and then called Dorworth twice in the hours before the evening revelry. BG, another attendee at the party, confirmed AB's testimony under the penalty of perjury. This remarks the first time that sworn testimony has been referenced in public court filings alleging that the congressman attended one of the long-rumored parties tied to the alleged underage sex scandal. Previous reports have revealed the details of the ex-politician and Gaetz's friend Joel Greenberg's confession letter that was never made public, which described how Gaetz would allegedly pay him to arrange several sexual encounters with young women, including a 17-year-old girl. Greenberg is serving an 11-year prison sentence for a list of charges, including fraud and sex trafficking with a child. This alone, that was the part where I was like, you can't ignore the story if the co-collaborator has confessed and also indicted, like, Gaetz, like, straight up said, he did that shit. We did that shit together. I had the Venmo payments. I have numerous Venmo payments and transactions that go between the two of us where he was sending me money, and this was money for trafficking children. Like, that alone was one of those things I was like, how is Gaetz getting away with this? What is happening? Why is this not being investigated further? There have also been reports of Venmo payments, transactions that were never released, showing the congressman paying Greenberg on at least one occasion. In 2021, Gaetz appeared on Tucker Carlson's Fox News show and asserted, "The person doesn't exist. I have not had a relationship with a 17-year-old. That is totally false." Gaetz has denied the allegations that he ever had sex with a minor or participated in sex trafficking. I just want to watch a clip from that, because that was the most bizarre fucking appearance on Tucker Carlson I think I've seen any guest do ever. Because he tries to implicate Tucker Carlson live on air, and Tucker's not having it. Like, it's one of those rare moments where, like, Tucker seems to be, like, a little bit astute.
Just a couple of hours ago, late, tell us what the truth is from your perspective.
It is a horrible allegation, and it is a lie. The New York Times is running a story that I have traveled with a 17-year-old woman, and that is verifiably false. People can look at my travel records and see that that is not the case. What is happening is an extortion of me and my family involving a former Department of Justice official. On March 16th, my father got a text message demanding a meeting wherein a person demanded $25 million in exchange for making horrible sex trafficking allegations against me go away. Our family was so troubled by that, we went to the local FBI. And the FBI and the Department of Justice were so concerned about this attempted extortion of a member of Congress that they asked my dad to wear a wire, which he did with the former Department of Justice official. Tonight, I am demanding that the Department of Justice and the FBI release the audio recordings that were made under their supervision and at their direction, which will prove my innocence and that will show that these allegations aren't true. They're merely intended to try to bleed my family out of money. And this former Department of Justice official tomorrow was supposed to be contacted by my father so that specific instructions could be given regarding the wiring of $4.5 million as a down payment on this bribe. I don't think it's a coincidence that tonight, somehow, the New York...
Now, obviously, he's a clown, so he never would. But, I mean, a follow-up to this would be like, Cool. Cool story, bro. I'm not asking about any of that. I mean, you know, if you want to set this up for a later date, we can talk about something completely unrelated. What does this have to do with the fact that there's now pretty credible evidence of you personally being involved in a child sex trafficking ring that also includes you having sex with children as well as supplying drugs to children? That's kind of what we're here to talk about.
The New York Times is leaking this information, smearing me, and ruining the investigation that would likely result in one of the former colleagues of the current DOJ being brought to justice for trying to extort me and my family.
So a couple of obvious questions that come to mind, and again, just to restate, this just happened, don't have any other information beyond what we've already said and you have said. Who is this Department of Justice former employee who's trying to extort the money from you, you say?
His name is David McGee. He was a top official in the leadership in the Northern District of Florida as a prosecutor. He currently works at the Beggs and Lane law firm. As a matter of fact, one of the recordings that was made at the FBI and Department of Justice request occurred at that law firm, and the money that was supposed to be paid today that would have shown even more evidence of David McGee's work in this extortion scheme, that was foiled by the New York Times story, and I believe that's why this horrible information and these terrible allegations.
Again, this is a while ago. I don't even remember who David McGee is. McGee's law firm says he would never have entertained a scheme of extortion. Gates also lobbied the extortion claim on Twitter. He wrote, over the past several weeks, my family have been the victims of an organized criminal extortion involving a former DOJ official seeking $25 million. McGee's law firm released a statement denying the accusation. Congressman Matt Gaetz made an allegation on the Tucker Carlson show last night about David McGee, partner of the firm Beggs and Lane, had attempted to extort money from Gaetz and his family in exchange for McGee making an investigation against Congressman Gaetz go away. The allegation by the congressman is both false and defamatory. McGee's law firm said in a statement, while he was with the DOJ, he would never have entertained a scheme such as what the Congressman Gaetz suggests, nor would he today. Unsubstantiated allegations do not change that fact. And even if this was true, like, you're blaming someone for trying to expose you here, just so we're clear, right? Like, in this case, it's like, this is part of a DOJ official who is trying to make an investigation into me for sex trafficking children go away, and he wasn't going to investigate it if I paid him out. And it's like, all right. But that first part, that whole investigation into you trafficking children thing, like him trying to blackmail you, also bad, but both things are bad, right? Like that's not a defense of the bad thing that you've done in this case. Insofar as I understand, the extortion claims center on an alleged attempt to free an American, Robert Levison, from Iran. Okay. McGee worked with an organized crime task force for the U.S. Department of Justice. Okay. But what does that have to do with Gaetz? McGee is a graduate of Florida State University, recipient of multiple service awards. Okay. McGee went after the money of famed attorney F. Lee Bailey. Okay. Again, like, that's an utterly bizarre defense to throw when all this is going down.
Have been used this evening.
So you're, and I'll get to the investigation in a sec, but you're saying that David McGee was motivated by greed. He was trying to extort money from your family. That's his motivation, you're saying.
I know that there was a demand for money in exchange for a commitment that he could make this investigation go away along with his co-conspirators. They even claimed to have specific...
Tucker, you're supposed to be a journalist. Well, I mean, you got fucking disgraced and you're not on the show anymore. You're not on TV. But back then, you probably should have been like, okay, but what investigation? What investigation was he trying to make go away? I get that you're saying that this is all because he was trying to blackmail you to make that go away, but the going away part of what?
The connections inside the Biden White House. Now, I don't know if that's true. They were promising that Joe Biden would pardon me. Obviously, I don't need a pardon. I'm not seeking a pardon. I've not done anything improper or wrong. But what I am troubled by is the real motivation for all of this. You know, just tonight, Ted Lieu, a Democrat, is calling on me to be removed from the House Judiciary Committee. And I believe we are in an era of our politics now, Tucker, where people are smeared to try to...
Okay, speaking of smear, I want to see where he tries to implicate him.
You just referred to a mentally ill viewer who accused me of a sex crime 20 years ago.
We passed it already.
You know the pain it can bring to your family, and you know how it just puts people on defense when you're accused of something so salacious and awful, but it did not happen, it is not true, and the fact that it is the basis of this attempt to extort my family tells a lot, and if the FBI and Department of Justice will release the tapes that they are in possession of, the American people will see what is really going on.
You just referred to a mentally ill viewer who accused me of a sex crime 20 years ago. And it, of course, it was not true. I never met the person. But I do agree with you that being accused falsely is one of the worst things that can happen. And you do see it a lot. Let's go back to the investigation. You say that it was or is underway. There was an investigation. What is the basis of that investigation? What is the allegation? Is that really not very clear from these news stories?
Yeah.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Again, I only know what I've read in the New York Times. I can say that actually you and I went to dinner about 2 years ago. Your wife was there, and I brought a friend of mine. You'll remember her. And she was actually threatened by the FBI, told that if she wouldn't cop to the fact that somehow I was involved in some pay-for-play scheme.
I forgot how profoundly weird this whole thing was. I was just sitting there with like my mouth open like a Tucker Carlson, like... What is he doing, right? Is he trying to implicate him live on Fox? I don't think I've ever seen this play before.
That she could face trouble. And so I do believe that there are people at the Department of Justice who are trying to smear me, providing for flights and hotel rooms for people that you're dating who are of legal age is not a crime. And I'm just troubled that the lack of any sort of legitimate investigation into me would then convert into this extortion attempt.
I don't remember the woman you're speaking of.
Matt, what are you doing? I'm asking you about the investigation into you allegedly trafficking children. Are you going to respond to that? Well, you will recall one opportune time you did arrive for dinner at my house, and there was a guest there, a guest of my wife, and you will remember who that was. So you have seen them firsthand. This person may or may not have been accused of the things that I have been accused of. However, you were present. I have no idea what you're talking about. I just, okay.
Context at all, honestly. But I would like to know who, so they're saying there is a 17-year-old girl who you had a relationship with. Is that true? Who are they? Who is this girl? What are they talking about in the New York Times?
The person doesn't exist. I have not had a relationship with a 17-year-old. That is totally false. The allegation, as I read it in the New York Times, is that I've traveled with some 17-year-old in some relationship. That is false, and records will bear that out to be false.
How long has this investigation been going on, do you know?
I don't know.
When were you first informed of it?
I really saw this as a deeply troubling challenge for my family on March 16th when people were, talking about a minor and that there were pictures of me with child.
Yeah, you should have sampled that. That would have made it right into the Kendrick track, right? A minor.
Prostitutes. That's obviously false. There will be no such pictures because no such thing happened. But really on March 16th was when this got going from the extortion standpoint.
So what happens next? I mean, you can see there is this investigation, I guess a criminal investigation. I'm not quite sure where the sex trafficking part comes in. For the fifth time, I don't really understand the story very well.
Well, I love that Tucker doesn't even realize what's... Like, I to this day, I will never truly know what is going on in the mind of fucked up Matt Gaetz, right? So I don't fully understand his play here. But it does really feel like he's trying to implicate Tucker Carlson in real time while also blaming the whole thing on some extortion attempt that has no bearing in reality, which even if true, wouldn't absolve you of the sex trafficking investigation. That would just be like someone offered to make this go away if I basically, gave him money, $25 million. But it's like, but make what go away? You can't add, and someone, he tried to blackmail me. That's also bad. So Tucker's just like, I honestly have no idea really what's going on here. You will recall when she came over for dinner to your home and you met her, and that may be the Jane Doe one in the case, right? Like Tucker's like, what?
Where does it go from here? I mean, you've made an allegation against someone by name on the air and accused him of trying to extort millions of dollars from your family. What happens tomorrow?
Well, what was supposed to happen was the transfer of this money that would have implicated the former colleague of these current DOJ officials. But that's obviously not going to happen tomorrow because the New York Times story was leaked in order to quell that investigative effort. So here's what needs to happen next.
Sorry, that sentence you just said makes absolutely no sense. The money was not going to get transferred because the story leaked in the New York Times. So were you going to pay Are you implying that you were about to pay the $25 million, but now that's not going to happen anymore, or something to that effect, to get a free pardon or something? I know you're trying to like say that like it's the Biden administration that is offering this to you, which is, again, very strange because he would later on go to ask for a pardon from Trump.
The FBI and the Department of Justice must release the tapes that are in their possession that were done at their direction. Those tapes will show that I am innocent and that the whole concept of sex charges against me was really just a way to try to bleed my family out of money and probably smear my name, because I am a well-known, outspoken conservative, and I guess that's out of style in a lot of parts of the country right now.
Matt Gaetz, I appreciate you coming on tonight.
Thanks for giving me the chance to tell the truth, Tucker. I appreciate it.
It's a more interesting and complicated story than I knew from reading about it. Thank you very much. Matt Gaetz interview, that was one of the weirdest interviews I've ever conducted. That story just appeared.
Who could have predicted that he was going to try and throw you under the bus, Tucker? I certainly didn't see that coming. I don't think anyone could have predicted that. It's like, hey, we got the exclusive story. This stuff just broke about Matt Gaetz. He's coming on the show. We're going to interview him. He's going to give us the entire story from his perspective. I didn't think he was actually going to try to implicate that you were part of a crime. And also responsible for your own accusations. That was also another strange thing that he did there. So, back to current day. In 2021, Gaetz appeared on Tucker Carlson's Fox News show, asserted the person does not exist, I have not had a relationship with a 17-year-old, that is totally false. Gaetz has denied allegations that he ever had sex with a minor or participated in sex trafficking. The Department of Justice investigated Gaetz and ultimately declined to file criminal charges. Gaetz did not immediately respond to a request for comment. Records show that AB, who was born in 1999, attended three weekly deposition sessions in July and testified in front of the lawyers in Boulder, Colorado. The new details were released in a court filing that were ironically made public as a result of the congressman's friend, Dorworth, trying to make it disappear. When the DOJ dropped the investigation, Dorworth sued several people, including Greenberg, and the woman who claimed that she was sex trafficked by Gaetz when she was only 17. Dorworth responded by text message Friday morning, repeating his claim that he never met the teenager, not once in my life. She is also lying about Matt Gaetz, he added. Dorworth said that his account is supported by a polygraph test that he took years ago, during which he was asked about the alleged encounters, and he noted that he is still suing Joel, his parents, and his company in state court. He took the issue away with defense lawyers and referenced the material that he stressed was, quote, confidential. Wild. And we've only gotten through two of the leaks. On to Christopher Rufo. Christopher Rufo, as some of you may know, is the far-right architect behind a lot of the right-wing culture wars that a lot of people just think are normal talking points that are actually exceptionally racist. But hey, critical race theory is being taught to your children. Your children are being taught that white people are racist. They're being taught that whites are inherently racist. They're being taught that white babies are racist. We have to stop critical race theory. It is a Marxist and socialist institution designed to destroy civilization. That whole shit, that was Christopher Rufo. So thank you. A lot of the groomer panic against LGBTQ plus people, Christopher Rufo. A lot of the xenophobia, the racism, and the hatred towards immigrants in the United States, Christopher fucking Rufo. Once again. A couple days ago, his own fans were getting really mad at him because he, in fact, it turns out, married a undocumented immigrant. So I was reporting on this. Christopher Rufo, there have been rumors circulating that call into question the harassment against my family. Here's a statement from my wife, Sufatra. I came to the U.S. as an undocumented immigrant in the late 1980s. My mother brought me here to escape abuse and human trafficking in my native Thailand. I grew up in a small town in New Hampshire where we were the only minority family. I experienced a lot of intolerance growing up, etc., etc. So again, it is unusual to find out that someone who spends all day vilifying immigrants. In fact, he's the person who just recently said he would give $5,000 to anyone who had video evidence of Haitians eating dogs or cats. That's the Christopher Rufo we're talking about. Who is married to a woman who, under Christopher Rufo's own definition, would be called an illegal alien. Now, not the terms I would use. I think that's kind of derogatory, but it's the term Christopher Rufo uses. So he both married an undocumented immigrant, and he impregnated an undocumented immigrant, and has children, multiracial children, as well. Again, like, do you go home to the dinner table and just check out completely after being all day? That, like, there shouldn't be race mixing. White people are superior. Immigrants are filthy. Blah, blah, blah. And then it all, like, checks off. It's like, hi, honey. Hi, kids. How are you all doing? How was work today? It was very good. It was very good. I spread a false rumor that apparently you can't trust black pilots. A lot of people believed it. They think black people are getting hired because of DEI. And now all these people who might not overtly be as fucking old-timey racist as they used to be, now they're all saying things out loud. Really racist stuff. It's aggressive. You know, I think I can even get a couple of people beat up from it. Cool stuff. Good stuff. Well, you know, pass the butter. Let's keep on going. Anyways, Christopher Rufo, after this scandal, had a second scandal that dropped yesterday with the Ashley Madison dump. If you don't know, Ashley Madison is a website that is used for people to cheat on their beloveds. So do you have a wife, a husband, a non-binary partner? Do you want to have sex with other people and keep it a secret? Why not join Ashley Madison? That's what they offer. That's what they promise. Now, Ashley Madison in the past has been hacked, and the hack revealed a whole bunch of, you know, rather prominent politicians and celebrities who had been using Ashley Madison to cheat on their significant others. And so that was really bad. But, you know, the old adage, fool me once, let's fucking do it again. Because Ashley Madison did not collapse afterwards, went back to doing what it does, getting people to cheat on their wives and partners. And then a second leak happened, which was, I guess, yesterday is when the entire Ashley Madison second hack drop occurred. So, again, I mean, profoundly silly for people even to be using this kind of like this. I am sure other ways to have affairs with your partners than signing up to the most synonymous website with having an affair, knowing that maybe one day you might get hacked. And now anyone who wants to can simply go to the hack database, type in the email of their significant other, and find out whether or not they're a member of Ashley Madison. Not great stuff. You know who appeared on it? Christopher Rufo. That's right, the Christopher Rufo. Now, the person who broke the story initially said that I found Christopher Rufo in the Ashley Madison hack dump, which is not great for Chris Rufo. But again, this is one of those things where plausible deniability, maybe something else is happening here. There's no way of 100% knowing if it is, in fact, Christopher Rufo. So she went the extra mile and used the email to email Chris Rufo, who ended up denying it by being Chris Rufo, obviously. I'll show you the email that was sent. Hi, Chris. I was hoping to get comments for a story. Have you ever been registered to the website Ashley Madison? Thank you very much. Lauren Windsor, executive producer for The Undercurrent. He responds with, no, but I heard these guys did, showing some white supremacists. And so he's, I guess his strategy going forward is going to be deny, deny, deny. And yeah, I mean, that probably could work. You could probably get plausible deniability in this one. Like in all of these scandals, in terms of who's going to be the most affected, Mark Robinson at the very top, because his shit is just so damning, and it's stuff that MAGA finds unforgivable. Like, it's fine if you want to say that you're a black Nazi, but if you say openly that you're into trans porn, MAGA's not going to fuck with you. So MAGA's probably going to just kind of cast him astray. Keep him at a distance, I will say. That could play very heavily into the upcoming election, by the way. I mean, I'm not saying that this means that North Carolina is suddenly turning blue, but it's certainly not going to help. And so that might be one of those complicated things for them to wrestle with. In the case of Matt Gaetz, we'll see. Will he have his day in court? That remains to be seen. Christopher Rufo, I will predict, is going to go down the road of just deny, deny, deny. This is fake news. Someone signed up. My email is public. Someone saw my email. They signed up using my email address. It doesn't mean that I've actually used it to cheat on my wife. There's no evidence of me cheating on my wife. Great job. You found out that my email was registered on a website that got hacked. This is not conclusive of anything. So, unfortunately, it's not 100% rock solid, but it's also just not good. It is getting, you know, it's getting some pretty big traction as well for people who I'm sure at this point are fucking sick of Chris Rufo. Next time anyone tries to post something about Chris Rufo, I'm going to invite you to appendage his biography. Chris Rufo, who fathered a child out of wedlock with an undocumented immigrant and then cheated on her with an Ashley Madison account and later offered $5,000 for proof of legal immigrants eating cats, only to publish a video of an unknown person cooking chicken in a different city, said. And that's technically, I mean, pretty difficult to get sued for that statement. It checks, it tracks. That's a lot of Christopher Rufo's things there in that list. Wait, Chris Rufo, it's okay that my wife was a quote illegal alien because she's one of the good ones, Rufo? Yep, that same one. Now, this one is a little lower on the list because I wasn't totally familiar with Corey DeAngelis, but Current Revolt, a far-right website that features a contributor who has shared Hitler memes, has reported that Corey DeAngelis, a pro-school privatization activist with an anti-LGBTQ plus streak, did gay pornos. So this is yet another one. This one may have been the story of the day, I guess, if there hadn't been like six others. But once again, Is there a single reporter who has the courage to ask Colin Allred if he thinks drag shows for children are appropriate? He spoke on the same stage as this drag queen who performs for kids, and the media has allowed to get away with it, says Ted Cruz. This is Texas Democrat convention speaker promoting hormone blockers for kids, drag queen story hour, and posted I Hate America last 4th of July. Why won't reporters touch this story? Says Corey DeAngelis. The same Corey DeAngelis is doing this. I'm not going to blow the picture up because I don't know if it goes below the belt and we'll actually see dong. And I know a lot of you at this moment would like to see dong, but you can go get much better dong. Wholesome dong. Not closeted or bigoted dong. There's much, much better. There's proud dong out there. Go enjoy proud dong. Go watch all the proud dong you can. Keep all of the bigoted and the closeted and the horrifying dong away from it. Because again, I don't know if it's because there is certainly a phenomenon known as gay for pay, where there's a lot of, straight sex workers who will engage in gay acts just because for men, there's a lot more work in the sex industry, especially in the pornography industry, to be doing gay pornography than there is to be doing straight pornography. That could be a part of it, or it could be that you are gay and you love gay sex and you also want to make money doing sex work as a gay sex worker making gay porn. That could be the thing. But it's just, again, why be an anti-LGBTQ plus bigot and then love the fucking pussy? You know, it's just the same thing. Keep going in this cycle. All these fucking bigots. I got no problems with you enjoying mancock. Go fucking enjoy all the mancock you can handle. But also, don't clock off after you've sucked off and then go right towards being like, hey, by the way, it is degenerate to be a homosexual. Drag queen story hours are groomers. Blah, blah, blah. Hormone blockers for kids. All that kind of shit. Like, fuck you. The fuck is wrong with you? It's kind of like the born-again Christian preachers who always, like, love telling the story about how degenerate they were their entire lives up until now. And it's just like, I have sinned. I've experienced all the carnal pleasures. I was doing crystal meth off another man's erect penis, but then I found the light of the Lord, and I'm here to tell you all of you should be celibate, all of you shouldn't try drugs, all of you shouldn't blah, blah, blah. And it's like, wait, what? You got to party your fucking ass off and they're going to judge the rest of us? Fuck you. Fuck all of you. Like, how about just teaching people moderation? You know? Stuff like that. And then we get to Olivia Nuzzi. Now, I gotta be honest. I don't have a raging hatred of Olivia the way a lot of people on the internet seem to. I didn't know that there was so much hatred. And I think that there is obviously a massive-ass problem with the way that women and female journalists in general are treated. They are often very heavily targeted. You can watch any of, like, Rachel Gilmore's many TikToks on the subject about her and her colleagues in Canada when they cover the far right, get an unbelievable amount of death threats, rape threats, hate threats, all that kind of stuff. So it is very dangerous and to, a horrifying degree to be a woman in journalism. That can all be true. And also, women are not a monolith. There are really shitty women. And this may be one of those cases, because in this instance, this is someone who effectively, if you're promoting things like this, why does Hollywood think female reporters sleep with their sources? And true, that is a trope. It's a trope I hadn't even thought about, you know? That's why I like kind of reading or finding these articles out, because I don't think about it every day. I don't think, like, the wokeness is destroying me. It's just like, oh, that is true. As a guy, as a cis man, as a mostly heterosexual man who, you know, is very attracted to women, I've never thought about that aspect. I don't think about that, but that is true, that a lot of journalists in movies and television are often seen as getting the scoop, getting the story, and then fucking the people that they're doing stories on. That's the thing, right? But if you're doing that thing, it kind of ruins the ability to call the thing out. If it turns out that you, in fact, may have been having an affair with RFK fucking Jr., Whale Juice Supreme himself, then yeah, it's going to call into question things like this. All of a sudden, especially for the misogynists, right? It gives so much ammunition to misogynists who are like, I fucking told you so. Oh man, all these whores. Fucking, we should have checked your body count before, blah, blah, blah. All that fucking useless garbage, right? That's one of the shitty aspects of this. Apparently she also had a fight back in the day with Emma Vigeland that I wasn't really totally aware of, but when I was looking up articles to talk about this, her and Emma seems to have sparred. Totally irresponsible of me to put my phone down for an hour to watch TV after I responded with the correction. Just an insane thing to spill hairs over. Tweet deleted. I look forward to your next gossip column. All that kind of stuff. Anyways, that notwithstanding, let's get to the story. Reporter Olivia Nuzzi on Leap after an alleged personal relationship with RFK Jr. is revealed. New York Magazine politics writer profiled Kennedy during his presidential run and says their talks turned personal. A top political writer for New York Magazine is taking leave of the publication after it emerged that she allegedly had a personal relationship with Robert F. Kennedy Jr., a scion of the Kennedy dynasty who ran a high-profile independent campaign for the White House before endorsing Donald Trump. Olivia Nuzzi, who has written extensive long-form pieces about U.S. politics, including RFK Jr., violated the magazine's standards around disclosing conflicts of interest, the publication said in a statement. Our Washington correspondent Olivia Nuzzi acknowledged to the magazine's editors that she'd engaged in a personal relationship with a former subject relevant to the 2024 campaign when she was reporting on the campaign, a violation of the magazine's standards around conflict of interest and disclosure. Which, yeah, fair enough. It added, had the magazine been aware of this relationship, she would not have continued to cover the presidential campaign. An internal review of her published work has found no inaccuracies nor evidence of bias. She is currently on leave from the magazine, and the magazine is conducting a more thorough third-party review. We regret this violation of our readers' trust. In a statement, Nuzzi acknowledged the relationship but said it had not been a physical one and that it had developed after Nuzzi had written a piece about Kennedy and his quixotic and ultimately doomed run for the White House. Nuzzi said that the nature of some of the communication between myself and a former reporting subject turned personal earlier this year. During that time, I did not directly report on the subject nor use them as a source, she said. The relationship was never physical but should have been disclosed to prevent the appearance of a conflict. I deeply regret not doing so immediately and apologize for those I've disappointed, especially my colleagues at New York. A spokesman for RFK Jr. told CNN that Kennedy only met Olivia Nuzzi once in his life and interviewed she requested, yet yielded a hit piece. RFK Jr., the son of Robert Francis Kennedy, who was assassinated in 1999, his campaign never took off. Nuzzi has become a high-profile American journalist and television pundit. One of more recent pieces include an interview with Donald Trump in which the former U.S. president invited her to examine his ear. So, as far as I understand, they may not have had a physical relationship. People are implying that they were sexting each other. Or sex-mexting. I'm not entirely sure what was going on there. I would submit to the court they could have, if it was not an entirely sexual relationship. There's a phenomenon that we learned about last year called soaking. It could have been something related to that, which is, again, the act of not actually physically participating in sex itself, but you simply lie on a bed and you have friends around you on the bed jump up and down to simulate the motion while you yourself kind of get a cheat code pass from the eyes of God because your friends are the ones jumping on the bed. You're not actually engaging in the sex, and then hopefully things will find their way into the one truth. That could have been it. I'm not entirely sure. Ivermectin, I haven't heard that before. They could have been ivermectin. That would make sense. Yeah, that's apparently a Mormon thing. It's called soaking. Yeah, that's a thing that apparently the Mormons do to be able, again, it's a cheat code. It's like the Konami code, but for God sending you to hell for your naughty impulses. So that could have been it. I'm not entirely sure. Either way, I mean, in terms of like all the people that I've covered so far and all their scandals, this one will affect RFK not, I would say. Because this guy, I believe, it's either he has absolutely zero shame as a human being, or he just feels that he's got like the Three Stooges syndrome of scandals, where he just does so much fucked up shit all the time that not any one scandal can ever bury him, you know? And like some of them are very serious. It's all fun and games when we're talking about brain worms and, you know, him saying, you know, racist conspiracy theories about Jews and COVID and his HIV causes AIDS stuff. I mean, that can have very serious and damaging effects. In addition to that, I mean, he is accused of sexually assaulting his maid. And when he was asked about that, he just kind of sat there and was like, well, I knew skeletons would come out when I ran for president. I was prepared for this. Which is kind of... So wait, sorry, you're not denying it. You're just saying, all right. So he did that shit, I guess. There's that. There's all the animal things. Obviously, those are the more fun ones. The animal ones are just kind of like, yeah, apparently he like chopped up a bear carcass and dropped it off in Central Park. Apparently he also chopped up a whale carcass, put the whale head on the car, and then the whale juice was spraying into his kids' faces. He didn't eat a dog. That was apparently a goat. He did barbecue a goat, and then that's what the photo of him eating the goat is of. And he did have brain worms. Those are all true. Those are real things. So yeah, in terms of like who's most affected by all these scandals, I would still put like Mark Robinson at the top. I think this will actually affect his political career and future anything, maybe even his marriage. Matt Gaetz next, because just the evidence on Matt Gaetz is so high, there's so much of it that I think this will legitimately affect his career if he goes to trial. Then we got Christopher Rufo, who will just deny. But like, again, he's in a crowd where they don't care. There's a very small amount of things that like the right will not tolerate, but it's small. Like, you can't be a gay guy and also have made a comment about pedophilia at the same time. You can be a straight person and had made a comment about lowering the age of consent and all that kind of stuff. But if you're a gay Republican and you do that, then you're Milo'd, right? Like, then Milo's, you're going to get kicked out right away. So you can't do that kind of thing. You can't be closeted and caught. Then you're kicked out if you're caught. But you can be closeted. But you can't be closeted and caught. And you can't also be into trans porn. That one seems to be a really big one on the right too, that they'll come after you pretty fast for that. So yeah, in terms of will this affect RFK, I give that like a 1% chance this will actually hurt him. By the way, people were like, this is really, really fucked up that it's happening to Olivia Nuzzi, who happens to be like, you know, a progressive blah blah blah. She's a massive Ann Coulter fan, fangirling so hard over Ann Coulter at CPAC. Well, Lance, that's just one example, right? No, it's not. Ann Coulter, you are my queen. Ann Coulter, be my friend. Ann Coulter, be my friend. Daily Beast, CC, Ann Coulter. I rest my case. Don't forget being into cuckoldry. True. You can use cuckoldry as an insult only. You can't. Well, actually, no, that's not true. Roger Stone is a literal cuck. He's a cuck. He likes to be cucked. So that didn't affect him. I guess it depends how high up you are, because that also reduces the list of things you can't do. So that at that point, you know, there's obviously going to be like that little moment. But yeah, that you should not be a fan of Ann Coulter at all, let alone fangirling for Ann Coulter. Yeah. This is a hitting on Olivia Nuzzi. I threw a live ostrich in the trash compactor. And then, lo and behold, the weirdest take of this entire fiasco, Nomiki. You might remember Nomiki. She was a co-host on Majority Report. She'd usually do one or two days a week until she kind of just firebombed her entire career because she wanted to run as a political candidate in a riding that already had a DSA-backed candidate who's really good, but then didn't tell the Majority Report that she was going to be running against a DSA-backed candidate. So they had to find out, like, as a surprise from their own fan base, because they actually did the whole political campaign launch on the Majority Report. And then after they did the campaign launch, a bunch of people were like, hey, in that same writing, there's a DSA-backed candidate. What are you doing? And so they had to withdraw their initial support for Nomiki and her campaign, because it was clearly just a spoiler campaign candidate. There's no point in you running within that specific district if there is already a DSA-backed candidate who has a very strong chance of winning, who I might add did end up winning too. But that was kind of the last I'd heard from Nomiki. But I'm going to leave this here. Maybe, just maybe, consider RFK's role as a 70-year-old on a 31-year-old female reporter. Like, y'all are some self-proclaimed feminists, but on Twitter, you are just bullies. And then obviously everyone was like, sorry, what? I mean, you could say it's gross because it's a big age gap, but this, like, this is a 31-year-old woman. I'm sorry, why are you infantilizing her? She was a child. She was a baby. How could this monster do that? Which is what most of the comments do say in the replies. And then, of course, she blamed it on Russia. Oh, hey, it's been an hour and Russia has tuned in. If you criticize this take as being ridiculous, apparently you're a Russian bot or something. I don't know. But yeah. Just, yeah, yeah, someone think of the 31-year-olds. Poor, innocent 30-year-old women being taken advantage of with no power of their own. Yeah, I thought that was kind of wild. Anyways, I think that's it. Is there any more? Did I get all of them? Those were all the scandals that dropped in a single day. That was all yesterday. That was from the morning till the evening. I think I got them all. But if you have a seventh one, if you have a sixth or a seventh, please let me know, because otherwise I'll move on to election coverage. But that's insofar as I was doing a deep dive. That was gay Christmas too, y'all. Great celebration. Can play some celebration things. Oh, those sounds aren't working. Well, we can't celebrate there. How about this one?
Cocaine is a hell of a drug.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. But I do have some other ones we could do. Yeah. There it is. We got the whole thing. All right. Election coverage, I guess. No more right-wing creeps. Apparently the race is tight.
My goodness gracious, could the race be any tighter in these battleground states? Look, in the Great Lakes, you got Harris by two, in Michigan, Wisconsin, and Pennsylvania, well within the margin of error. How about in the Sun Belt, though? It's even tighter. You got a one-point race in Nevada favoring Kamala Harris. You got a less than one-point race in North Carolina, Trump ahead, but we're talking about like 0.2 percentage points. Arizona, a one-point advantage. Georgia, a one-point advantage for Donald Trump. The race, very, very close. Now, let's just say the polls were exactly right. What does that mean for the electoral map? Well, it would mean a really tight race. Look at this. Kamala Harris getting 276 electoral.
Last week, The Hill had Nomiki to replace Jessica. Well, that means she's found a new home, I guess.
Electoral votes to Donald Trump's 262, mostly on the basis of winning these Great Lake battleground states, despite the fact that Trump carries three of the four Sun Belt battleground states. But the bottom line is, Kate Baldwin and dear audience, this race is tight, tight, tight.
Now, in the realm of playing the hypotheticals.
Yes.
So let's do that.
Yes, I love those.
Comparing how, if the polling is off, if the polling is off like it was in 2020, what would that do to the electoral map?
So look at Donald Trump's electoral vote total right now, if the polls were exactly right, 262. But let's say the polls are off like they were back in 2020. Look where he goes. He goes to 312. Why is that? Because the polls underestimated Donald Trump in 2020. So the bottom line is, instead of losing those Great Lake battleground states, he wins all of them. He obviously holds on to North Carolina, Georgia, and Arizona, and he gains Nevada. So if the polls are as good as they were in 2020, despite the fact that at this particular hour, Donald Trump trails in enough states to give Kamala Harris the victory, if the polls are off like they were in 2020, Donald Trump would actually win the election.
There are big elections since 2020 that involved 2022 midterms. What if it was off? Then now compare it to the polling offage of 2022.
Look, I think a lot of people are focusing on the 2020 polling, Aaron, believing, oh, the polls always underestimate Republicans. Not always, because look at what happens if the polls are off like they were in 2022. Well, Kamala Harris goes from losing that election to winning it with 319 electoral votes. Why? Because the polls underestimated Democrats in 2022. So Kamala Harris gets back all of these Great Lake battleground states, but she adds to her column North Carolina, Georgia, Arizona, and Nevada. So the bottom line is, this race is way too close to call, and the past elections show us it's way too close to call, because polls are a tool. They are not Nostradamus.
True. I think she's got plus one in Michigan. You could solidify Michigan by, again, just following international order that you're supposed to, or promising that you're going to. You don't even have to say that you're deliberately going to withdraw all weapons sales to Israel. You could just make a statement along the lines of, yes, my administration will be following international rules-based order. But it doesn't sound controversial, does it? And part of that international rules-based order is that if a country is committing atrocious war crimes and demonstrable war crimes, then you won't be supplying arms for them anymore. It's something that could definitely help. The uncommitted movement is just like olive branch after olive branch after olive branch after olive branch. They have so much more patience than a lot of people would have in terms of just being shit upon by the DNC repeatedly, from the Democratic base to the statements made. Like, humanization is important and good and nice to see, but it doesn't stop the bombs like dropping on babies' faces, which would be more beneficial. Trump, on the other hand, is going right for anti-LGBTQ plus ads.
Kamala supports taxpayer-funded sex changes for prisoners.
Surgery.
For prisoners.
For prisoners. Every transgender inmate in the prison system would have access.
It's hard to believe, but it's true. Even the liberal media was shocked Kamala supports taxpayer-funded sex.
They were shocked? This quote says that. Taxpayer funded for sex change surgeries. It's shocked is added there somewhere.
Changes for prisoners and illegal aliens.
Every transgender inmate would have access.
Kamala's for they, them. President Trump is for you.
I'm Donald J. Trump.
It's a weird ad in a lot of ways. One, it's kind of really skewering the truth of her original interview there, where she is talking about how prison inmates should have access to healthcare. And when pressed and asked if trans people should have access to healthcare, she says, yes, they should. Prisoners should have access to healthcare. Also, I don't think the Republicans have ever cared about the conditions of prison inmates before. So is that a new thing? Because there's a lot of stuff we can go on. I mean, again, the trans population of the United States is currently at, what, 0.7%? So if that's the case, 0.7% of prison inmates, this is an issue that concerns you. There's, broadly speaking, issues that concern a lot of prisoners. You know, the conditions of their health care is a start. That's a big one. The quality of the food. And the other really, really massive one, in addition to the quality of the food and the prison system, simply their living conditions at times have been shown to be inhumane. They can experience torture, all that kind of stuff. It's not true. They're concerned about the treatment of January 6th exclusively. Yes, that's about it. That's the first time I've ever heard them care about the judicial system or the prison system for that matter. So, yeah, I don't know if this will have any degree of success. I think this only serves to infuriate the base. I think between the midterms, the last presidential election, and multiple elections at this point, it's kind of demonstrated that this is not a driving issue for voters, where they just sit at home and otherwise they would have been like, oh yeah, it's election day today. Well, I'm not going to go. And then they watch an ad and then it's like, oh wait, what? Apparently prisoners will be getting free sex change operations if they want. No. I'm activated. This is real. I need to get out there. I think it's a loser, to be completely frank. Sam Rocher, thank you so much for the incredibly generous $100 dono. Chico, here's a welcome package to Tenet Media. Please confirm a receipt by appearing in a beanie and then we can start planning how to overthrow Lance. I got Russian funding, y'all. It finally happened. The Russians have arrived, and they're gracing me. And suddenly, my opinions are changing in real time. I don't know if you all know this, but Ukraine is the greatest enemy, not only of the United States, but the world. The entire world. It is the enemy of Earth. Yes, Earth itself. I don't know why I thought that. It just random thought that came to me out of nowhere, unprovoked. But apparently it's true, and something that y'all should look into and be really scared about. Yeah, get super mad about it, all right? Yeah, I too have heard such things.
And I approve this message.
Kamala supports taxpayer
You need to shout it out. Yeah. And we finally got a brand new video by Innuendo Studios, who always makes such great content about the alt-right. And you should go support Innuendo Studios. Not just because, you know, friend of the show and all that kind of stuff, but at the end of the day, Innuendo Studios, I remember when a lot of the controversy surrounding, what was his name, James, whoever H. Bomber guy basically erased from the internet because he tried so many times to come back
and
do the right thing, but just didn't know how to. Terrellyn, thank you so much for the Bezos bucks. Appreciate it. James Summerton, thank you. James Summerton. When the James Summerton scandal happened, and if you want the TLDR, essentially James Summerton was kind of like a queer pop culture literature channel that would talk about movies and books and try to inform his audience on a variety of topics, and became kind of a Goliath in the whole pop culture literature review scene. Turned out he had been plagiarizing most of, if not all, a lot of the stuff that he had been making, as in not writing it, as in just copying and pasting it, not properly attributing it, all that kind of stuff. And so when that got exposed by the H. Bomber Guy video, he deleted all the channels. Well, he just basically put them on private, and it looked like he was just going to take some time to cool off. He then returned with kind of a very, very ridiculous crying apology that was really trying to garner sympathy from the audience, in that, like, you know, he was talking about, unaliving himself and how much he had been suffering as a result of this, and that he never meant to hurt anyone. And then he deleted that video and then went quiet for an even longer time, and then came back and just restored the whole channel as if nothing had happened, and then released another apology video. And in that apology video, threw his writing partner under the bus and said that they were responsible for the plagiarism and it was their fault, and that he himself was not fully responsible. But it wasn't just plagiarism, it was like he was incredibly sexist towards women, he was very, very derogatory towards asexuals. Not a huge fan of, like, you know, bisexual men who are mostly straight, that kind of shit. And so there was queer phobia, there was sexism, there was all this kind of stuff. Didn't really answer it properly, and then just tried to come back and pretend like nothing had happened. And obviously everyone was like, what the fuck? And then disappeared again for a long period of time, and released a statement that everyone thought meant that he had unalived himself, and so even more period of time goes by there. And then it turned out during that period of time he was actually horny posting a ton using alt accounts and stuff like that. And I think since then he's pretty effectively disappeared. Anyways, the reason I invoked James Summerton at all was that when the James Summerton scandal was being exposed, and a lot of it also related to him doing crowdfunding campaigns to get all this gear, being like, hey, we need like, you know, $40,000 or $50,000 to create a new studio for you. You're going to see every single dollar spent on equipment. I'm going to buy a really fancy camera and I'm going to put it right in the background, not use it, but you'll see it so you know that I spent it on it. Turns out like that was also kind of a grift and that he wasn't actually doing or using that money for good things. When all that got revealed, I remember Inuendo Studios made a post that was like, I work so hard on my videos, I research them, I write them, I don't steal anything, I animate them, and I don't come even close to a fraction of the amount of money that, you know, this guy has been making by stealing from everyone and fleecing everyone. And it's just, that's why it's so profoundly sad to me. I remember seeing that for Inuendo. So I say this all to be like, hey, if you haven't already, again, here's the link to Inuendo Studios. Please support Inuendo because he does really good work.
Say, for the sake of argument, you're the kind of progressive lefty with a platform who gets a share of harassment, seasonal or perennial, from reactionaries. In this situation, you will inevitably hear one who positions themselves as a reasonable moderate ask, why don't you respond to criticism? There's a lot going on in that question, more than is immediately obvious, and it's worth understanding. First, is that the question is not only directed at you. It exists as a marker, showing up in your Q&As, your comment sections, your Twitter threads, to imply to anyone paying attention to you that there is some wealth of legitimate criticism that you have long ignored. Now, there may well be a specific point this person is referring to, but it's often left unspecified or generalized, so that the content and the quantity of the criticism is left to audience imagination. It is meant to publicly undermine your legitimacy. Second, it's meant to make you question whether there is some legitimate criticism out there in the din of people screaming at you. You're not perfect, and a knock-on effect of being harassed is you get numbed out, unable to discern good faith from bad, often removing yourself from the very streams through which your peers used to correct you because of the endless flow of garbage coming through those channels now. But the only way to verify the ambiguous claim that there is some criticism worth responding to is to once again strap on waders and climb back in, which is often what your critic really wants. Third, well, the question isn't really why don't you respond to criticism. Odds are you do respond to some criticism. People in your position are often addressing or preempting criticism all the time, arguably too much. No, what this non-specific question is really asking is, why don't you respond to my criticism? They'll let it sound like you've been ignoring everyone, but they mean, why are you ignoring me? They're going to insist you owe them a response, that their critique, regardless of your opinion of it, is valid and demanding of immediate attention. Odds are there are dozens of people saying the same thing, all at the same time. Fourth, odds are good that you have in fact addressed their specific complaint, but not in a manner they will accept. This one person's criticism is likely not unique. You may have covered it somewhere in your output purely because you know what kinds of arguments are getting thrown at you, and you're just covering your bases. There's a decent chance your critic doesn't actually consume enough of your work to have seen it, but it's maybe even more likely that they are fully aware of your counterargument. You know, maybe one of your fans directed them to it, but they don't consider a response legitimate unless it is directed at the critic. Covering it in a different context or on a different platform doesn't count. They are owed a statement they can respond to directly because they want the argument to continue. So really the question is, why don't you respond to my criticism on my terms? Finally, even if you did respond to them by name, it's likely your response would still be disqualified. If you were to summarize their argument in any way, they would claim you are building a straw man. If you isolated any specific critique or pointed to the cruelty that accompanied it, they would claim you're cherry-picking. You must, it seems, first present the criticism full and unabridged before you may respond to it. Which is to say, the only correct way to respond to criticism is to platform the critic. And there are dozens who expect this of you, who will tear into you for not addressing in meticulous detail every single critique they have ever tossed your way, and in the same breath make fun of you for talking too much. Because they don't want to move on from why don't you respond to criticism. As a rhetorical tactic, it's pretty ace. To announce before the argument is even stated that it is thus far undefeated? Ah! Mwah! Because any response you make is going to keep the focus on you and not their argument. It's not worth responding to? Well, why should the accused get to decide what is and isn't worth responding to? I have responded repeatedly, well, why didn't you respond in this particular way? None of this looks at whether the criticism had any credibility to begin with, only at whether your response is following procedure.
So now, there are criticisms that have been leveled against me that I have never engaged with. Say, for instance, that you shouldn't listen to me because I'm just four eels in a trench coat. How would I respond to that? What could I say that isn't exactly what four eels in a trench coat would say? I mean, I'm not wearing a trench coat, but obviously the first thing four eels would do when people start to catch on is switch to hoodies. I could show you my birth certificate that proves I was born of a human woman at a birth weight that four eels would not add up to, but did that work for Obama? Or did the guy who said the birth certificate was fake get elected president? And obviously, all of my exhaustively researched and carefully argued points about how fascism has evolved on the social internet are suspect if I can't even prove I'm human. We stayed at war with Iraq for 7 years after the government announced that the weapons of mass destruction we were looking for never existed. And there are people to this day who still believe we found them. So what hope do I, a mammal who would make mediocre sushi, stand in the face of that? So, if you ever see this claim out in the wild, why haven't you responded to blank? Ask yourself, do you know what blank is? Do you yourself agree it's a valid question? And are you sure it hasn't already been answered? And don't repeat the question unless you've got three yeses.
Wait. But you didn't answer the question. You didn't actually prove it. Still waiting for you to respond about the whole eels thing. Maybe then he'll get to me. That was interesting. I didn't know about the four eels in the trench coat thing. That's a weird accusation. I've never had that accusation levied at me that I'm four eels in a trench coat. Sounds fun, though. I like Juniper's comment that America is just... what, 14 corporations in a trench coat? I think that one's more accurate. That one fits better.
Hey, if you'd like to unlock secret bonus episodes as well as uncensored content, go to patreon.com/theserfs. This show is produced by Anna Loves Riley, Arian McCarthy, Cheryl Alvarez, Comrade Junkie, Doug Caddy, Everything Important, Hagbard Celine, Jimmy Sombrero, Multimondi, Omni, Political Puppy, Preston Kroll, Quiet185, Riley and Anna, Roller Dragon, Cernicus, Stellar Gwyn, Sebastian Demmel, Travis McClinton, Trinsel, Words Greenwood. With additional support coming from all of these amazing human beings right here.